Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, welcome, my friend. Another big show for you. A guy who's started a brand new business called Rapid Paws. He's out of D.C. and it's like a limousine service or a Zuber.
Should we say for pets?
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
And we'll find, and I think it's a fresh business, so we'll find out how he's doing. Also, Doc Halligan from the Lucy Pet Foundation with Flea Talk here on Animal Radio. If you're having flea problems, listen up. I'm going to ask her if there's some kind of solution besides those very abrasive topical spot-ons, because I'm always afraid to put those on my animal. And it is, of course, right?
I am too.
Yeah, it's a big flea season. So, of course, not there in Las Vegas. You don't even have fleas there, do you?
You know, we get excited when we see fleas. We actually put them in test tubes and like show them to everyone. We're like, look, this patient has fleas. And it's a great fun in the hospital.
Is it just because it's so hot there?
Yeah, it's so dry. So our climate outdoors, really just, it's too brutal for the flea eggs to actually survive. Now, we do have pets that actually come from nearby states. Ah. Like a lot of folks travel to California with their pets. They'll come back and they'll have a flea infestation. And oftentimes tapeworms along with that as well, because those are linked together. But yeah, so that's how we tend to see them here.
What about other cities like Phoenix that are dry? Is Phoenix a big flea city, or do they?
Not really, no. But, you know, interestingly enough, heartworm disease is, it's a disease, you know, carried by mosquitoes. Uh-huh. And mosquitoes that carry heartworm disease are pretty much everywhere. And every one of the 50 continental states really has heartworm disease. And so that's something, even in a dry environment, you can still have that. So a lot of people are mistaken to believe that.
Okay. Good to know. Good information. Doc Halligan will be around the corner. If you want to talk to Dr. Debbie White right now and ask her your questions about your pets, just after that, we're going to go do a quick check of the news with Miss Lori Brooks. What are you working on for this hour?
Well, okay. Picture yourself if you were outside, you know, walking your dog and you saw someone else walking their dog who wasn't walking, who was actually driving and had their big chubby arm hanging out the window, hanging onto their dog's leash while the dog is cruising along outside.
I've seen this in my own neighborhood. What, these people are too damn lazy?
And people are taking videos of it now and turning it over to animal control authorities, and also the police are getting some of that. So we will tell you what police are saying and what you need to do in order to make sure that this is taken care of.
I bet the police are ticked off, and I bet they're arresting people left and right, right?
You're going to have to wait.
Okay, we'll find out in just a minute right here on Animal Radio. Let's go to the phones for your calls. Hey, Kevin, how are you doing?
Doing great today. How about yourself?
Very good. Where are you calling from?
Tyler, Texas.
Tyler, Texas. How can we help you, Tyler, Texas?
Well, I've got a little... We've got a menagerie of animals at our house and have for years, about 11 dogs and 6 cats.
Wow.
Holy cow, you got a house full there.
Yeah, we live out in the country, so it's all legal. But we've had this little terrier mix in the family for over 12 years. And she has got a chronic nasal discharge, and it's bloody, and has had for about 6 weeks. We've had her on antibiotics. We've been working with our vet. We've had her on antibiotics, even started her on thyroid to help clotting, he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been giving her a little Benadryl with the vet's permission to try to dry her up a little bit. But okay. She just snorts and coughs and just has a terrible time with this. Oh, also removed her front two teeth because of abscesses.
Oh, okay.
And teeth had gotten bad, and she's older, and we figured she had an abscess, and that's why we pulled those teeth.
Okay.
Haven't been able to get a handle on this thing.
And when they pulled the teeth, did that seem to change the discharge in any way, or no?
Not really.
Okay. So I'm assuming if they've done all that, they probably also looked at doing some basic lab work?
Yes. They've done some basic... we even lavaged her nose out with a catheter and took mm-hmm. some cells and sent them down to Texas A&M, and they were not neoplastic. No cancer.
Okay.
But I was curious, do dogs tend to develop polyps like people?
Mm-hmm. Sure can. Yeah. And actually what you're describing with this bloody discharge, we call that basically epistaxis is the fancy word for a bloody nose. And in an older dog, I'd have to say that some of the things, it sounds like your veterinarian's done a pretty thorough job of kind of working things up and getting the most likely things eliminated. In an older pet with a bloody nose and all those other things that have been kind of checked out, I have to be honest that cancer is still pretty high on the top of my list. And sometimes we can't always tell unless we go up there with a scope, look up in the nose, and take a little bit higher or deeper biopsy. So that would still be a big concern. But a lot of times we can definitely see dental infections causing a bloody nose. And especially because some of those teeth have really deep roots up there. And that could certainly, you know, potentially cause a pet to have a bloody nose. And then I'd say probably the next thing we see a lot is where a dog might have a foxtail or a piece of grass that's worked its way up into the nasal cavity. And that's where, you know, flushing it out sounds like that's what maybe we're hoping to attempt if that was there. But ultimately, we might get to where we have to get that endoscopy or the scoping up the nose to really figure that one out. Okay. And you said you're in Texas there, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because another thing we think of in certain parts of the country, and you know, perhaps they've checked for it. If not, I would ask about fungal infections as a potential cause of the nasal problem. There's different types of funguses, believe it or not, in the soil all over the country, and they're different in different parts of the country. Out by us, we have one called valley fever or coccidiomycosis in the desert southwest. It's fairly common, and that can potentially cause some problems. So there's some blood tests for fungal organisms that you can have done, but otherwise a lot of this really falls to getting a good look up the nose and going up there with that little scope to see what we can find. And I think some of the therapies they've tried are reasonable. Antibiotics, antihistamines, the thyroid medication can help if we're worried about a bleeding disorder. So all of those things sound like they're right along the right line, but I'd really be worried about something a little bit more involved than that at this point.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, give your baby a hug for us, Kevin, and hope that helps things out.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes. Helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
You wanted to talk to Dr. Debbie?
Well, I have a German Shepherd who has a degenerative myopathy. And people keep telling me when it's time for her to be put to sleep, she's going to let me know because she's still acting like a puppy. She's still acting like she's the boss. She's eating. She just falls a lot. Mm-hmm. Like she'll fall down my steps.
Oh,
well,
dear.
We have a bi-level, so we have no step. I mean, we have no way to get in and out of the house besides going up and down the steps. I mean, she's going to, like, fall. She just throws this Bambi thing down the steps.
Okay. Where her back feet kind of collapse under her. She's not falling down and tumbling down large amounts of stairs. That's what I was concerned about.
No.
Okay.
No, we have it worked out. We have a rug at the bottom of the steps to catch her so that she doesn't do the Bambi thing when she gets to the bottom of the steps. We have a rug by her food dish so she doesn't, you know, she doesn't slide. But my dilemma is, when should I put her to sleep?
Yeah. And I guess the biggest problem with degenerative myelopathy, which basically this condition is a progressive deterioration of the coating along the spinal cord. So when that happens, dogs lose their function to their back legs. They can get wobbly, kind of crossing over with the back feet. They'll even scuffle their back feet and wear their toenails down. So that progresses to the point where they lose more and more control with the back legs. That eventually can progress up to the front legs as well. But for most pets, the disability with the back legs is really where that is the biggest problem and when we first diagnose that. The good thing is that it's not painful, other than the secondary things that they do to themselves, dragging the top surfaces of the feet, getting pressure sores, things like that that we have to deal with. Now, I will tell you that one great thing in managing dogs with degenerative myelopathy is the benefit of physical therapy. Now, there is no cure for this condition, but we know that physical therapy can help give us more meaningful time, and it keeps them more ambulatory. It keeps them moving on those limbs in a meaningful way for a longer period of time. And there are some studies that have looked at this, and dogs in intense physical therapy can survive periods of time over 255 days of good quality time. Some with no therapy can be as short as 55 days. So that's kind of the scope of the time frame we'd be looking at. And if physical therapy is something you can work with your local veterinarians or specialty groups, that might be something to do. But your question, basically, how do you know? And will she tell you? Gosh, in all my years, I don't feel that with this condition, the dogs really tell us, meaning that they accept that they're at that point. They're not in
right.
a lot of pain.
And she seems to be a little depressed, but not enough that she still isn't bossing. I have two other dogs. She's still bossing them around, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing. It is a disability, so it becomes more when we can't get up to do the bathroom needs, when we have secondary infections or pressure sores or things that are complicating their life. So, no, I don't feel that she's going to tell you when it's time, when her quality of life, getting around, is limited, or when she is at a point where she may jeopardize her own safety falling downstairs. That is where that the quality of life really becomes down. So,
yes.
So I think that basically that she's not at that point yet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This is Ben Vereen on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your animal for a healthier and longer life.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hi, this is Carrie Annie Naba from Dance with the Stars. Don't forget to spay and neuter your animals, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Come celebrate with us. Grab your pet. Bring them around the radio. Bring your phone, too. Just in case you have a question about your pet, you can call on the other end of that phone, Dr. Debbie, answering your vet medical questions, and dog father Joey Villani with your grooming questions. And speaking of Joey Villani, hey, Joey, what do you got on the show today?
Well, we're going to be talking about aromatherapy products and aromatherapy shampoo, and let's figure out, you know, if they work or if they don't work. So that's what we're going to be talking about later.
Really? Judy, I know in your office you have a candle often burning, or it's not a candle, it's like oil.
It's the heated.
Is that aromatherapy?
Thing. Yeah, I think it's considered. There. Yeah, it makes me calm. It makes my office smell nice.
Sometimes I'll just, and you don't know this when you're not there, I'll just go in there and sit in there and just relax. Just it's one of those
in
smells.
My
that,
office?
Yeah. What is that, lavender oil or what is
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Plus it covers up some of the pet smells.
It's a nice, peaceful place in there.
Oh, thank you. I thought about getting one of those little water fountains, but then I thought, you know, I'd spend most of the time in the bathroom with the trickling water.
It would just make you want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I don't know if that would work. Yeah.
So does the aromatherapy work on your animals? We'll find out with Joey Villani in just a few minutes. Lori Brooks in the newsroom with Mr. Gordy. What are you guys working on?
Well, there's a new kind of pet that's about to explode in the pet retailing market. When I say Mexican curly hair, maybe a dog, right? Or a Guyana pink toe or an ivory ornamental. That kind of sounds like flowers. But this new pet that you're going to be seeing in one of these major retail pet stores soon is nothing like a dog or a flower. In fact, I don't even think it's pretty.
Exploding animal.
Really?
Well, that's on the way with Lori Brooks. What do you say we go to the phones for your calls right now? Hey, Lucy, how are you doing?
This is Lucy. How are you doing today, sir?
Please don't call me sir. That's my daddy. Where are you calling from, Lucy? Austin, Texas. I love Austin, Texas. Beautiful place you've got there. Now you got me talking in a southern draw. What's with that?
I don't know.
What's going on with your animals? I got groomer Joey Villani here and Dr. Debbie here for you.
Okay. I have a question for the doctor. He's a part poodle and part schnauzer, and he's got like a lump on his stomach. What would cause that?
Tell me where it's located on his stomach. Is it on his kind of his chest area, on his underbelly?
Yes, ma'am. It's on his chest area.
Okay. So where the lump is the hair still growing normally, like in the area around it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. It sure is.
Okay. And how does it feel if you kind of squeeze it, you know, like squeezing the Charmin? What does it feel like?
It's kind of soft. You know, okay. It's not really soft.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how big is it? Would you say like a quarter sized, a dime?
I'd say it's a quarter size, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, in that location, there's certainly a wide variety of different things that can pop up. But one of the more common types of tumors is actually going to be a fatty tumor, or what we'd call a lipoma. And they tend to be tumors that, you know, just kind of crop up usually on the lower half of a dog's chest or abdomen. The kind of the easiest way to check for that is to have your vet do a needle sampling of that, where they just stick a syringe and needle in there, collect some cells, and send some slides out to look at that. And if it just comes back looking like fat cells, then the chances are it's probably a fatty tumor.
He don't act like it bothers him or anything, you know. I just sit there and touch it, and it don't bother him. I mean, he hasn't squeaked or nothing, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? The interesting thing is with most actual tumors, and we use tumors as a word to describe lumps. So a lump is a tumor because it's abnormal. So whether it's a bad kind of cancer or something, say maybe like a benign cyst, it's very rare that a dog is going to complain if you squeeze it or touch it. So I never really use that criteria when I'm worried about trying to decide if a dog has cancer. It just doesn't help us. What it can help us determine is sometimes abscesses or infections. If you squeeze an area that's got that going on, you know, a pet may react. So I would say, you know, doesn't help us a whole lot. It's good that he's not painful, but it doesn't knock anything off my diagnostic list. And that's where I think taking that needle biopsy is really, it's a fairly inexpensive test that can be done without any anesthesia. Doesn't have to, you know, be a major commitment you do, but it can give you and your veterinarian some better information on where this is going to go and what kind of thing you might need to do. Because not every fatty tumor needs to be messed with. Some dogs, especially Labradors, are a breed, as well as Doberman Pinschers. We see tons of fatty tumors on these dogs as they get older. And, you know, there's a point where it's just not always realistic to remove them. I do think that that would be, you know, one of the best things that you can do to feel better about the situation. And if it is a fatty tumor, you know, some folks will just say, let's watch and wait. And that's my hope. That'd be what I'd hope your baby has there.
So, in other words, you're saying to take him into the vet and have it checked out then?
Just to be on the safe side, because there can be some other types of actual cancer, some bad things that come up in that area. But, and it's hard. I can't see your dog's lump and feel it myself. I'm kind of going off what you're saying, but that would be what I would hope and what the odds are in that location there.
I appreciate your time and help.
Thank you so much, Lucy, for your calling from Austin, Texas today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke. So the pets are all part of your life, and make them welcome in your life. And once you do that, they will reward you with a lot of love.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Hi, this is Elaine Hendricks on Animal Radio. Please, adopt a pet.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. You may not think of big, hairy spiders, and I mean big spiders as pets, but some people do, and now Petco wants their business. The company has announced it is expanding their tarantula offerings. That's right, to give pet parents the chance to further explore the amazing world of arachnids. The retailer says it is also proud that with this launch of more than 20 different breeds of tarantulas. Who knew that all of their tarantulas will be bred in captivity? And they're also saying, you know, they're really pushing this, saying that these unique and fascinating animals are a great addition to any home, offering endless learning opportunities for the whole family.
And I just want to mention that Petco, they turned that spider problem of theirs, they just spun it. That's all they did. They just had a big spider problem.
About tarantulas, did you know not only do they have eight legs, but they also have a large round eye that is surrounded by three smaller eyes on each side of its head. And so that's a total of eight eyes.
Wow.
Those things can see a lot. Yeah. Now, they also shed or molt in order to grow. And so they double their size each time they do that. And the female tarantula can live up to 30 years. That's like having a bird or a tortoise. But the male tarantulas, they have a much shorter lifespan. They only live like maybe 7 years, and that's with excellent proper care. And it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of these different breeds, and the names of some of these breeds are pretty exotic. They will sell the Mexican curly hair, the rear-horned baboon tarantula, the Guyana pink toe tarantula. Now, that's not one that you think of often, is it? There's the Mozambique golden baboon, the Costa Rican tiger rump, or the ivory ornamental tarantula. It's a living thing.
That's not
so
for me.
Me either. A California woman captured video of another woman driving her car. Okay, and while she's driving her car, she's got the window down, and she's walking her dog as she's holding her arm out the window and holding on to the dog's leash. And she's driving while she's doing this. The woman who took the video did confront the woman in the car saying, you know, hey, why are you walking the dog like that? Don't be so lazy. You know, get out of the car, and, you know, and make this a thing with your dog, a good thing. And the woman who was doing this said, you know, I'm not dragging the dog. But then the video does show the car begin to speed up at that point after that little confrontation, which forced the dog to run along beside the car in order to avoid being dragged. So this tape was turned over. The director of a local animal services department there in Stockton said, you know, he too found the video pretty distressing and recommended to the police that the woman be charged with animal cruelty. So the police reviewed this video, and they said they did not believe there was any evidence of cruelty. But the police said the woman in the car would have been charged with distracted driving if she had been seen by a police officer when she was doing it. But not a good practice.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
you know what, honestly,
good enough.
If it was a child, if you had your child running alongside your car, would that be child abuse? I mean, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Only if it's seen. It's like, does a bear poop in the woods? Not if you can't see it.
Because if a tree falls, do you hear it?
Right. Police up in Brighton, Canada, were called out to a home recently. This must have been so crazy. It was, you know, just a routine, regular weeknight, a Tuesday night, I believe. And it turned into something very unusual. It was 8 o'clock at night. Neighbors began reporting to the police that they were hearing what they thought was a domestic dispute. And they were really concerned since they knew that there was a couple living there and this didn't sound right. But when police arrived, they could only find that there was one person inside. It was a man. Police said the neighbors had told them on their calls that they heard a man yelling and saying things like, "I hope you die," and other horrible things. And it turns out that the man who was home alone had been screaming at his pet parrot. The man told police that the parrot was beaking off at him. His words. Beaking off. So you might have guessed that the man had had a little too much to drink, but they said they looked at the parrot and it appeared just fine. And that was the end of it. No charges were filed.
Wow.
Now you have a bird, Joey.
Yes, yes. And believe me, there are times where, I mean, I would never say I wish you dead, but there's times that you do want to choke her. Birds can be really, really tough, you know, especially ones that don't want to shut up when they're talking. But like mine could be very destructive if you're not paying attention.
Does yours mock you? Does it? Does...
No, don't mock me
Wait,
at all. No, but I'll tell you what. How about this? Would you rather your bird mock you or chew the wood molding off the wall, and then you find out that you have a very expensive replacement?
Oh,
that's
boy.
What my bird would do.
I'm so sorry.
That was
that.
A bird toy for a while.
Yes, it yeah. was.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Anyway, I thought it was pretty funny. Beaking off, something to remember. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, and if you're having a flea problem,
in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Doc Halligan about fleas and ticks.
No, just fleas.
Just fleas? All of us really suffer from fleas and ticks, and sometimes our animals do, too. And she has techniques to get rid of those fleas for good. We have a cat that has this flea dermatitis. One bite, that's it. The cat breaks out in all kinds of hives and itchiness and scratches.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It gets bad.
Yeah, they can be allergic to fleas, can't they?
Absolutely. Some That's what it is.
Yes, they can. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really afraid of those topicals, those spot-ons that you put on their neck. So I'm going to ask her if there's some other solution. I want to talk to this guy next who's he's kind of runs a Zuber. Not an Uber, but a Zuber. He takes animals around the Washington, D.C. area that need to be transported from one place to the other. And we welcome from Rapid Paws, Daniel Williams. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
How you doing today?
Oh, awesome. How's the weather there in D.C. today?
It's been crappy the last couple of days, but in the last couple of hours have been blue skies. I wonder what happened.
Well, tell us, you run this limousine service for pets. Is that correct? Am I getting it right?
I like that you call it a limousine service. It's kind of like that. Well, yeah, I see that you named it a Zuber, too. That's funny. But no, I started a company, me and my partner. We try to, man, look out for a lot of people that's in the Washington area. I mean, it's a pet-dense area now, so we try to come up with some ideas, you know, for a business. So I got a dog. You know, he got dogs. We love pets. So we just thought about, man, a lot of people who ain't able to get their pets to the vets and to the groomers. I mean, a lot of people work. I mean, it's a government-based town. So we just try to, man, help out a lot of, man, government and military in this time by giving their convenience and them making it to work back and forth while we can, man, take their pet back and forth to the groomers or to the daycare or to the vet or what have you.
Yeah, do you have to take them anywhere else? I mean, do they? Does anybody call up and say, hey, take them down to the park and walk them a little bit? Or?
I haven't got that kind of phone call yet, but the weirdest question I had was, do I baby talk?
Do you baby talk? No, that's a... why are you guys laughing? That's not funny.
It wasn't weird to me. I guess the guy felt uncomfortable asking me that.
Oh.
I baby talk my dog all the time. So I guess he felt weird and uncomfortable in asking me that. But when he asked me, we hit it off real good.
So did you baby talk for the dog?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes,
Damn straight.
I have a dog. I have a pit bull. And she's like almost 180 pounds, and she's big as a house. So I had to even baby talk to him sometimes.
I baby talk to my animals all the time. And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, Dad, why are you baby talking to me? That's the silliest thing ever. So,
well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because baby talking, I got to know my animal a whole lot more than what I, you know, would have probably thought I would have.
Do you think they talk in baby talk if they were talking to us? Do you think they'd talk to us in baby talk?
They'd probably use some strong foul language.
Yeah. Probably. So how's business going? When did you start the business?
April 1st this year.
Okay, so it's brand new. It's fresh. And I see a picture of your van here. It looks like it's just freshly wrapped. How's business going?
The Washington Post actually gave us some traction. I'm so happy that, you know, that they looked at us and wanted to give us. I do a lot of promote myself. I do the old-fashioned promoting. I actually walk the street and promote. So that's what I've been doing. I've been hitting a lot of local dog parks and stuff that I go to myself. I've been hitting a lot of little downtown areas. And I bumped into a Washington Post guy while I was out doing my promotion. Yeah. And I was like, well, what do you know? Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Have you thought about Shark Tank? Going on Shark Tank, getting a little money, maybe opening up some franchises across the country?
That's a good idea. I haven't thought that big yet.
How many vehicles do you have right now?
We have 2 vehicles.
And how many people are you working with? Are you doing it all by yourself, or do you got some friends helping?
No, just me and my partner right now. Just me and him right now. We're just starting it up. But I guess after we gain some traction or whatever, man, we can get around. Maybe we can hire a couple of folks. But, you know, we're working with some vet techs right now and whatever, man, that, you know, to help us out.
Well, you know what? I think your business is fresh. It's brand new. And I think you're going to have some amazing stories to tell pretty soon. As soon as the first politician's dog gets in the car, I want you to call me up. Let me know. Let us know for and tell us the story. The first time a flamingo gets in your car.
Or a boa constrictor.
We want to hear about it, okay?
I promise. I've been listening to y'all for the past week, man. I have a great radio show, man.
Well, thanks, man.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We'll talk again very soon, okay?
Okay, you guys have a good day.
There you go. Daniel Williams of Washington, D.C. and his little business.
A great idea, and I think that's he's in the right place, too.
Hi, this is Paul Reiser, and you're listening to Animal Radio. Every minute you're here, you're not harming someone else. I don't know what that means. If it's usable, use it. Otherwise, cut it and get out.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. Write that on your unk, if you will.
What's an unk, Hal?
I'll show you where your unk is later. Write it down wherever you know where to write it down. We'll go back to the phones for Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Volani.
Well, I have a gripe for you guys.
A gripe?
Yeah, I just got to air some grievances here. You know, it's kind of like from Seinfeld. It's time to air the grievances.
Okay, let's clear the air.
So I've been corrected repeatedly by a token client for calling the pet the wrong sex. And I'm usually very good at this. Occasionally, I will get it wrong, and I will own up to it when I do it wrong. But I didn't. I was like saying, oh, he's so gorgeous.
And was it a she?
It was a male. And I said he was gorgeous. Oh. It was a gorgeous cat.
Yeah, well, gorgeous is okay.
And he took offense to that.
What?
Because you didn't say handsome?
Yes. I guess so. And then at another point, I had said something else, and I said, we'll be doing this now. And I think it was interpreted as he will be doing. And I just was like, oh, my gosh, some people have such a chip on their shoulder. Yeah. I was just really shocked.
Well, gorgeous, I think, really. I mean, if someone said that I was gorgeous, I would say that's a compliment. I would be very flattered. No one's ever said that. But hypothetically, if somebody said that. That would be, I don't think that's gender specific, is it?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, when we're talking about a cat, am I being just the opposite sensitive on this? I mean, if you're seeing a gorgeous, say it's a gorgeous Persian cat, and whether it's male or female, it's an absolutely fine specimen. It is gorgeous.
Well, I don't know. Specimen kind of, it was
well, I wouldn't say
doctor
that.
Talk,
dehumanizes, but. Yeah. Or de-animalizes it.
I'm with you, Dr. Debbie.
So someone was they were just having a bad day.
Yeah,
maybe I mean, got up on the wrong side of the bed.
Is anyone else really sensitive about that? Do people call your pets by the wrong sex, and does that get you all worked up? Am I just insensitive to anything? Like, I'll call pets sweetie or honey, and then I've had people say his name or her name is Jasmine, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I just call it as an affectionate term.
Yeah.
I call
I'm
my clients their puppies, you know, sweetie pie and stuff, and I think they like it.
They don't tell you his name is Rufus. Please don't call him Sweetie Pie.
No, I think they like the fact that I'm comfortable and call him that.
Okay.
We had a specialist vet who called Parker. She would just call him she. I mean, but this woman is so highly intelligent. You know, I didn't care. I just wanted her diagnostic information.
Sure.
So she was getting it wrong, and you were not offended?
No.
Now, what I do see is if you don't know what sex it is, I do see people say cats are generally female and dogs are male. They'll say that sometimes.
Kids say that. Yeah.
Here's a secret. In just a few minutes, we're going to have Doc Halligan on talking about fleas. Her dog, Surfing Jack from the Lucy Pet Foundation, mm-hmm. Jack's a girl.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought I'd let
Surfing
that.
Jack
Surfing
is a
Jack is a
Surfing
girl.
Jackie.
So when you think about that, I wasn't supposed
I
to
wonder,
say that.
We'll have to ask her if she gets offended.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hello, Animal Radians. It's Robert Semro, your Pet World Insider, here with this week's Animal Radio list, 5 Reasons You Should Adopt a Cat. June is Adopt-A-Cat Month and the perfect time for you to consider adopting a cat. And this year, I'm certain more men than ever are heeding this message as well. Why? Well, in recent years, there's been an uptick in men adopting cats. But regardless of your gender, cats can make a wonderful addition to your home, and I'm going to share 5 reasons why you should welcome a cat into your family. To begin with, you're saving lives. Now, I know that may seem obvious, but for many, it's not. Yes, it's important to find a home for cats in need, as they deserve a forever home where they can flourish. However, the saving lives part may also include you and your family members. Studies have shown that pets can lower blood pressure and be tremendous stress busters. Just a few minutes with a cat can make a world of difference in your physical and mental health. Next is that they're nonstop entertainment without the need for a computer or TV screen. Cats are incredibly entertaining creatures who don't need much to find joy in. From a simple box to paper to a ribbon or just looking out the window at the world, a cat's ability to entertain themselves is something that quickly becomes entertaining to all around them. Cats are also able to find joy in just viewing the world from a different angle. Enjoy watching all the different ways your cat finds to rest or relax in spaces and on ledges that simply defy gravity, if not common sense. Next is that they're very intelligent, and they take less effort in many ways than dogs do. They don't need a lot of paw holding or opening of doors to use the green room. In fact, most cats figure out the litter box routine quickly and easily. Additionally, they bathe themselves and don't have to be told twice to do so. This is great because it's healthier and safer, as putting a cat in water is not a fun chore for those of us who are not scratch resistant. Another reason is that they're easy to adapt into your lifestyle. They're independent by nature and don't mind that you have to go to work for long hours each day or might need to continue working for a while when you get home. They're very good at letting you know how much time and attention they need. Then, when their people time tanks are filled, they go back to their safe spaces to relax, observe, and plot. Finally,
And this is one that those who aren't cat people just don't get. They're excellent snugglers, and cats are very affectionate. They're able to snuggle themselves in and keep you and themselves warm. They want to be around you and share close moments of tenderness while not crushing you. Yes, almost all cats are lap cats. If you're still not sure, turn on your internet video channels and search for cats doing awesome things like playing keyboards, dressing up like stars, singing, and so much more. Share your reasons to adopt a cat on our Animal Radio Facebook page.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome, my friend. Bring that pet around the radio. Let's talk pets for another hour or so and answer your questions. Dr. Debbie, as well as Joey Villani here, dog father Joey Villani, answering your pet-related questions. And phones seem to be white hot right now. Judy is screening them. And she's also informed me that in just a couple of minutes we'll be talking to Doc Halligan with your flea and tick talk, especially fleas today. We're going to find out exactly what are the options for getting rid of fleas. Some of us don't want to use the chemicals on our fleas.
No.
Let's see. Laura,
I don't want to use the chemicals on my pet.
Yeah. It's if it removes nail polish, then it's got to be some serious stuff. Because I think the only other thing that does that is acetone. But we'll find out some solutions. She may have some ideas for us. What are you working on over there in Lori?
Well, you know, in the world of, you know, statistics, things are, you know, big. If, you know, housing sales are up 6% this year, that's huge. New car sales up, crime up or down. But listen to this one. The number of new dog parks in the country is up almost 90%.
Wow.
Lots of fun things happening with dog parks. And we'll tell you, the cities that have the most dog parks per residents that they have living there.
Hmm. We just got a brand new dog park down the street. I'm thinking the cities with the biggest dog parks, well, obviously Boulder, Colorado, I would think have a lot of... Nope. Okay. Well, that's
you
on
would
the...
think.
You would think. We'll find out with Lori Brooks in just a couple of minutes. Let's go to the phones for your calls right now.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Where are you today?
I'm in Florida.
In Florida. Okay. Well, you're on with the doctor. How can we help you?
Okay. I have a 2-year-old Vizsla that has a skin allergy. I have him on all-natural, gluten-free food. Been to the vet. It's not fungal. It's not bacterial. It went away during the winter. It came back just about a month ago. We don't know whether it's coinciding with the weather, with the chlorine in the pool. I just can't find anything to do for him. The vet pretty much has thrown up her hands.
Oh, dear. So have you tried other medications? What exactly has been done?
Animax. I have him on Benadryl. 225 milligram twice a day. That keeps it calm, but I just hate keeping on giving him that indefinitely, and I don't know how long this is going to last. It's angry and red looking.
Okay.
Angry.
Well, Angry, yeah. That's we use descriptive terms.
Angry looking.
Yes, I use that all the time. So yeah, that connotates that it's really unhappy on that skin. So I mean, a couple things that there's definitely directions we can go, and it just depends on what approach you're comfortable with, because we can treat allergies symptomatically, or we can try to get to a little bit more of the root of things. One of the aspects with any allergy, when we talk about food-related components, a gluten-free diet is only limiting certain types of proteins. So if that's not seeming to help and control things, then we might even switch that out to other types of hypoallergenic diets. And there's some where we'll restrict to a hydrolyzed protein. And that's something that for many dogs with allergies, we'll try a course of that. We may switch things up and try something totally different, like a what we call a limited protein diet. So we might have just a couple different ingredients in that and see if the skin signs are better. So I wouldn't say just because you're on gluten-free means that we've eliminated that food allergy possibility.
Okay.
So that's one thing. The other thing is, we have specialists of veterinary types of all sorts. So pretty much anything you can imagine in the human world, there's a veterinary specialty in that. So, and we do have veterinary dermatologists. So if your veterinarian is not comfortable with where things are or thinks that everything has been exhausted, we can refer to a veterinary dermatologist. And I would see, if you're interested, I would see about getting your pet tested, allergy tested, because there's certain things we can either A, eliminate in the environment, or we can do hyposensitization for pets with allergies. And that's kind of getting to the root of the allergy, if you will. Rather than trying Benadryl and medicine to try to control the itch, we try to go to the heart of it, what's causing it. So that would be one thing I'd consider. Have you thought about that at all?
I have. I think it just flared up again in the last 3 weeks, and I think it must be environmental since it went away all winter and the dog was not in the pool, and there's probably different plants blooming, different things out there right now. My feeling is it probably isn't food since he was fine all winter long.
Yeah, and we can get kind of overlap of food allergies and seasonal allergies. So, you know, it might be worthwhile to see about allergy testing. And that can be done with a skin method with a dermatologist where they kind of inject little allergens to the particular skin areas. There's also some food or some blood allergy testing that can be done. It's not necessarily as precise, but it's a good starting point for some folks. So that would be another thing to try. Alternatively, if you're not inclined to go towards the testing, we might try a cyclosporine type drug, which kind of modulates the immune system. So it kind of helps the signs of allergies, but it's a little bit different approach than just using either steroids or Benadryl. And there's one called Atopica, and I use that pretty heavily in my practice. So that might be another alternative that you can look at for your little baby there. And see if that helps take the itch out there, because nobody likes a scratchy dog. And certainly we like to have a quiet, comfy home. This is Dr. Debbie. If you have a question, we are here for you at Animal Radio.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Fat and sassy.
Fat and sassy. I'll have to remember that. Write that one down. That's good. I like it. Fat and sassy. Where are you fat and sassy from today?
Oh, here in California.
In California. Okay. How can we help you?
Well, I got a Golden Retriever. He's about not quite a month and a year and a half, just almost a little under a year and a half.
Okay.
And he's a couple times he's had problems with his backside. His tail, if you moved from side to side, it didn't bother him, but if you tried to lift it, it did. And we noticed that he was constipated.
Huh, okay.
So this happened one time, and evidently he cleared himself up because he came back in the house and he went for 2 or 3 days like that, and then he was fine. He come back in, he's as happy as can be, and everything's fine. He did it again for 2 or 3 days, just recently, just this last week, and now he's fine again. And I don't know if the tail being stiff and, you know, holding it down, but tucking it between his legs and not moving it, if that's got something to do with the constipation or not.
Well, yeah, it certainly can. And anything that kind of goes on in the whole hindquarter area can definitely affect the carriage of the tail, or basically how well that they hold it up and wag it and show off the, especially a Golden Retriever, those gorgeous feathers that they have.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when he was constipated, were you pretty comfortable that you saw hard to pass poops, or was he having diarrhea?
He was having a hard time passing it.
And then when it came out, it was dry and oversized.
Well, my son said it was okay. I mean, he's 24, so you got to know. I mean, I wasn't home. He called me and said, you know, he finally went to the bathroom, and it looked. I asked him if it looked good, or you know what it looked like. He said, well, it looked like poop.
Okay, because typically if I expect a pet to be constipated, you know, let's get serious about describing poop here on the air. We're looking for, you know, constipated poop is usually dry, hard to pass, oversized. If we're not seeing that corresponding with when he was having troubles, it could be something else causing pain. So it may not necessarily be a constipation issue. So if we got pretty good confirmation, and you know, your son should know, everyone knows crap to some degree, but if you're comfortable that he's described that and said, yeah, Dad, you know, this is really some unusual looking poop. It's dry. It looked like, you know, he was having a hard time passing it. If not, then we'd definitely go looking for other things. And now, does your dog do much swimming?
No, not right now.
Okay.
He plays in the mud and everything. He's happy now. I mean, he ate good during the whole time. He just didn't get rid of it. And he walked funny, and he'd go out, and he'd try to go, and he'd strain and everything. He just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, and that inconsistent, the occasional trouble going to the bathroom, it's certainly possible, you know, that, you know, he acquired something that was more interesting than the typical dog food, and that could cause some havoc going through. And then I'd want to make sure that we're feeding just a consistent diet, and we're not switching things up, giving him table scraps or, you know, any kind of bones. Even a dog that, say, gets rawhide chews, nothing necessarily wrong with that. But we can see a pattern of inconsistent poops for many dogs that have that ingest rawhides. It can cause the diarrhea, and then it can kind of look like they're having trouble passing the subsequent poop. So I would say, go ahead.
He eats tree limbs and twigs.
All right.
All he's fascinated with them. He comes in there like toothpicks with him. He comes in and chews them up on the floor.
Oh, gotta stop that.
I think he's a woodcutter.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, as far as a lot of these guys, they look for stuff to chew. And, you know, if he is ingesting things like that, tree limbs, you know, your neighbor's shrubs, what have you, then that definitely that can create some havoc going through. So you might want to work. My prescription for you might be to really super monitor his intake and his output over a period of a week to 2 weeks. And during that time, watch him closely, make sure he doesn't have access to some of these different behaviors of chewing, and see what those poops are looking like. If everything's going good and we're comfortable that he's not getting into other things, then we may be comfortable to say, that occasional problem is likely to eating that bough off that tree or, you know, chewing something in the yard. But yeah, definitely, I make light of it, but, you know, we don't want to encourage that kind of chewing behavior because it just sets up for whole sets of digestive problems and foreign objects and all that wonderful stuff.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
An adventurous little cat took a little walk and apparently made his way from Phoenix to Iowa. After 5 months, Megan Rowley was sure she'd never see her beloved cat, Austin, again. Imagine her surprise when she got a call from 1,500 miles away, saying they found her traveling tabby. And how they found him was even stranger. In Iowa, Nancy Cook was making a deposit at a bank drive-thru when a cat jumped right into her car through the open window. Austin landed in her lap, and as luck would have it, Nancy worked as an animal tech at the Avondale Cat Hospital, where Austin's owner was located by Austin's microchip. That's amazing. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
We're lucky. Don't take it for granted. We get to take our animals to work with us.
That is one of the best benefits ever, by the way.
The other benefit, of course, is having Dr. Debbie here. So if we ever have any problems with our animals, just like you, we can ask her. We don't have to call the toll-free number because it would be just ridiculous.
Just throw that paper ball at me and just, hey, look over here. I got a question for you.
I have
I know you have questions about Ladybug. But
No. Different questions.
Oh, you have different questions?
Yeah, this might help our listeners.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
Can I?
Is it on the script anyway?
No.
Well, go ahead.
I've got a question about insulin.
Insulin? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. My elderly neighbor's dog was just diagnosed diabetic, and she has to give it insulin shots twice a day.
Okay.
And she is physically handicapped with her hands.
So the owner
is.
Okay.
So it's very difficult for her to draw the exact amount into the needle, into the syringe.
It's a tough deal to do that whole thing.
Yeah, because it's a small amount, and she just can't do it with her hand. She doesn't have all her fingers and stuff.
Dexterity to do that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very difficult. So what I did is she had all the needles, and I filled up, you know, like 6 or 7, so she had a couple days where she could just grab the needle and just give it the injection. And mm-hmm. we keep the full vial of the insulin in the refrigerator. Well, I took the needles, and we put them in the refrigerator.
So you just moved it from one...
Yeah, moved it from the vial into actually a syringe.
Okay.
So she had ready syringes to go. And I was worried about the efficacy. Does that diminish it, being pulled out of the glass bottle and put into a syringe for days? Or is it still as potent?
There would be a couple concerns I would have. One would certainly to be that just making sure you're not drawing up too much, just for sterility's sake, because you know once you've drawn that up and put that in that syringe, you've actually removed it from that sterile container. So as long as you're only doing for a short period at a time, I don't see a problem with that. The other thing is that as with a lot of insulins, it can kind of settle out in formulation. So it would be very important if you do have an insulin that does that you make sure that you instruct her to agitate the needle beforehand. Okay. So, kind of like just doing this thing.
Yeah, roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're supposed
roll
to.
Roll it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that's the problem that, with insulin, you want to be kind to it. But once you already have it drawn up and it's in the syringe, you don't necessarily have to roll it. Rolling is just so you don't put bubbles in the bottle, and then you don't draw up a lot of excessive air. But once you've got it in that syringe, you've just got to get that kind of almost shaken up, if you will, because we don't want that settling out into the back part of the syringe. Some insulins aren't, the type that will settle out like that. But that
this
would just
one
be something.
Does. The vet said to roll the bottle before you draw it to make sure that it's all
definitely mixed
up. Okay.
I noticed since a lot more animals are obese and fat and big, are you seeing more incidents of diabetes than you've ever seen before?
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. And all, not just diabetes, but, any of the obesity prone diseases. So we see a lot more arthritis problems where pets actually need to be on medication because of excess weight. And then, the diabetes, we see problems with pancreatitis, which is another, pancreas driven problem. There's a lot of things that if you maintain your pet in good, healthy body weight, you could really, keep them around longer, but also save money at the vet, which is, I think, what should motivate most people to really try to keep the cost down.
Does diabetes in cats and dogs, does that lead to kidney problems like it can in humans?
It can, yeah. So we can sometimes see kidney disease. And then there are some pets that actually will go on to have pancreatitis because the inflammation in the organ can also lead to abnormalities down the road with that part of the pancreas as well. I'd say we see a lot of urinary tract infections in pets that have diabetes. Mm-hmm. And, even just things like bad hair coat and muscle loss. So there's a lot of other things that kind of of tag along with diabetes. And of course, you know, in dogs, you know, cataracts, huge association with diabetes. And just about almost every diabetic dog is likely to go on to develop cataracts. So, but they are, you can have them removed surgically, and they do really, really well with that.
Is that the same with cats?
We don't see it quite as often in the diabetic cats. It can happen, but really in dogs, it's a high incidence.
I know that bad teeth can hurt their organs. Can bad teeth, you know, bad dental, can that cause diabetes?
I don't know that there's a clear association with that. So I couldn't say. But yeah, bacteria from the dental products have been shown to cause heart problems, kidney problems, and in some cases, even things like liver disorder. So anything where we have a showering of bacteria through the blood system, you know, that's when, you know, we're going to see problems secondary to the dental problems.
Well, since we're talking about diabetes, what would we look for if, you know, how would we know if our pet has diabetes?
Well, that's a great question, Lori. That's awesome, because a lot of people kind of miss those early signs of diabetes, especially in cats, because we kind of blow it off. But drinking a lot of water, urinating a lot. So for a cat owner, that means, are you scooping big, huge piles of pee out of the litter box? Or are you filling that bowl up for your dog or cat excessively? Are they hanging their head over the bowl like some cats will do, where they don't want to leave it? Those are some of the first things. But we will end up seeing weight loss. And with more advanced diabetes, we'll see vomiting, becoming dehydrated and very severely ill if they become in what we call diabetic ketoacidosis. So that's a life-threatening situation. So we want pet owners to pick up those early symptoms, you know, well before that.
If you have a question for Dr. Dibby, the toll-free number is 1-866-405-8405. In fact, we're going to go to the phones in just a second. First, we're going to find out what's coming up in the news with Miss Lori Brooks.
Well, we're talking about, you know, people being pet owners and stuff. There is a whole new generation of pet owners, the millennials. And man, you can see them just kind of pushing the animals as family. Animals are our life. They are our children. You can see them just really moving that movement along. And we'll give you some of the latest statistics that are really kind of interesting.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Admit it. You love your dog and he is part of the family. So when choosing your next vacation, don't forget Fido. With just a little planning, the entire family can enjoy a road trip. To find the best vacation spot for Spot, subscribe to Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog, where each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, where both you and Fido are welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and find out what all the barking's about.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. How old are you? I'm not being nosy. I just want to know that there is a story here that we're going to do that is targeted towards millennials. So either, you know, you might be a millennial yourself, or mom and dad, you might have a child who is in that age group. And this will give you a little more clue into what these people are all about. Apparently, millennials take their roles as pet parents very, very seriously. They say millennial pet owners demonstrate an overwhelming urge to pamper their pets, according to new research that is out in this report titled Millennials as Pet Market Consumers. So they studied all kinds of things. If you need a gift idea for a millennial, well, consider that both dog and cat owners in the age group are much more likely than all other pet owners to buy toys and fashion accessories for their pets. And those pets are usually under 25 pounds because they want a smaller pet that they can pick up and carry and take with them everywhere they go. In short, compared to other pet owners who are over the age of 35, the report says millennials are more likely to be, you know, kind of anxious even about the health and safety of their pets, are kind of all consumed with them. They're also more inclined to pamper and coddle and use technology to keep an eye on them when they're away from home. Now, think about this. Does this sound like pets play the role of a, maybe, you know, substituting for a child for millennials? It does, doesn't it? And apparently they do. They say the vast majority of them, 71% of these people between the ages of 18 and 35, agree that having a pet is a great way to get ready for having a family. By the way, around 30% of millennial dog and cat owners also prepare themselves home-cooked meals for their pets, and they are much more likely than older other pet owners to use raw pet food, organic pet food, natural, and even non-GMO pet foods for their furry family members. I love that. That's going in a good direction.
Uh-huh.
Well, yep, the world of pets is definitely changing, exploding. We talk about it every week, all of the new things that are happening and new trends going on. Well, off-leash dog parks lead the pack in the types of new urban parks that are being built, growing by 4% last year, and 89% explosion has happened in dog parks since 2007. That according to the Trust for Public Lands, most recent data on the nation's 100 biggest city park systems all across the country. Now, nearly every big city now does have at least one dedicated dog park. And a lot of their names are really kind of cool, at least creative. Like in Fort Worth, the pups there play at Fort Wolf. Pets in Memphis, they play at Overton Bark. Dallas dogs have their own My Best Friend's Park, you know. And Atlanta dogs have their own Freedom Barkway. It's fun to see governments having a good time with this. The 2016 City Parks Fast Report compiles data about parks in the biggest 100 cities in the country. And when it comes to the number of dog parks, the cities that score the highest on a per-resident basis are, number one, Henderson, Nevada.
Wow.
Followed by Portland, Oregon, Norfolk, Virginia, then Las Vegas, which is, of course, also Nevada, and Madison, Wisconsin.
Dr. Debbie, your town seems to be leading the pack there in dog parks.
Well, I think that's awesome. We do have, I mean, heck, we have one just a few blocks away from my office. So, I mean, they really are just about on every corner.
But what, California didn't make the list? The top five? Mm-mm. Wow. Mm.
Well, Mars Pet Care, the U.S.'s world's largest even pet care company, has announced the results of a survey that they did exploring how pets have invaded pop culture. They are everywhere now, even becoming megastars in their own right, you know, all thanks to the power of social media. The survey shows we are indeed pretty pet obsessed, and we're loving it. About 65% of pet owners post about their pets an average of 2 times a week. I think that's pretty low because we all post about our pets, I think, more than that. But more than half of pet owners polled care more about getting likes or comments for their pet-related posts than they do for things that they post on their own on other topics.
Sure.
And the survey says about 30% of us who have pets follow famous animals online, and that is really true. Or you follow animals who have become famous just because they're online.
I follow Grouchy Cat. Is that his name? Grumpy Cat. I follow Grumpy Cat.
Yep. I follow, I used to follow Champ Wearing, but then he passed away. But he was a really neat, it was a rescue dog who became an anti-bullying dog.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Anyway. Check them out. Have fun. I'm Lori Brooks, and you can get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Rough crowd.
It gives me great honor to present to you the dog father, Joey Volani. How you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Enough small talk. What's on the docket?
So, you know what? The new trend here is aromatherapy and aromatherapy shampoos for your pet. So what I want to talk about is, I mean, do they actually work or is it just a fad? To be quite honest with you, the aromatherapy, when used in its pure sense, like when you get the essential oil and you're putting in a diffuser for your pets, it actually works very well, to be quite honest with you. I've seen it, and I've seen it with my own pets. I have one of my dogs that can't deal with thunderstorms all that well.
And, really?
Yeah, can't deal with thunderstorms. And, you know, we got the thunder jacket and all, which I could be honest with you, it did make a big difference. But at one of the shows that I attended, they talked about you know, why don't you try? And it's a mixture of essential oils. I don't know exactly what the ratio and what it is. But they sell it all pre-mixed, and you use that, and it actually made a difference. So that being said, what they try to do is duplicate these things in some of the pet shampoos that you now see on the shelves. We've done tests with three of the top ones out there. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't seen much of a difference. After talking to a lot of the chemists that actually make the products, what they're saying is if the product doesn't have the true form of essential oil in it, meaning 100%, it's not going to have the effect that you want it to. And then the other thing with a lot of these pet shampoos, you are diluting them on top of it. So to be honest with you, if you're going to buy them, I would buy them just because you like the smell, you like the way they work, and that sort of thing. I wouldn't put too much science behind it of actually correcting the problem with your pet. But some of them smell great, so I mean, I just buy them just for that reason.
Hey, you know what? I'm a nurse, and so I was a couple of years ago reading up on they were using essential oils on patients in hospitals, and they said that studies actually proved that the first or second time they used them, they worked really well, but the efficacy after that was a little less each time.
You know what? I haven't noticed that, but that's quite interesting because I will look further into it. It's something that we have not noticed greatly yet. So I can't say if that is true or if it's not in the pet industry. But you give me something to look into for my next tip of the week. So that's good. You gave me some insight there of what I can look into.
Yeah, I wonder if it, you know, you build up a tolerance to it.
Well, what I thought was that this plays on the pleasure centers of the brain. So it's actually that's why it's calming. Because it's almost like works as a drug, where it stimulates. It's a calming feeling. So I don't know. I mean, possibly.
There are some good essential oils out there. I used Young Living essential oils, and they are really high quality. And I started using them.
That's actually what I use.
Really? Yeah, it's good stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
What is it?
It's good stuff. Young Living oils.
And I
believe that they have a pet line.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. You're not going to believe what happened to me. I got bit by a dog yesterday in the park. Yeah. I'm just minding my own business, running. This lady's coming at me with two dogs, no leash. I run by, the dog sneaks up behind me, jumps up on my forearm, takes a nice chunk out of there. And she still doesn't put the dog on a leash. Joke's on the dog, though. He's going to get sick from me. I don't know what was up with this woman after the dog had his way with my arm. She still didn't put him on a leash. There were two of them, and just like a pack, one circled behind me to try to attack from there, while the bigger one confronted me in the front. Now, the woman was just yelling and screaming. Dogs are not paying any attention to her, because they're fraught with anxiety and fear. So what conclusions would you get from this? Well, first of all, the dogs are not socialized at all. They're not used to being around people, and when they get around people that they don't know, they become aggressive. They think that they have to protect their pack, which of course is the woman. Dogs like this should never be allowed off leash, especially in a park. It could have just as easily been a kid on a bicycle or a woman with a baby carriage. Now, it's not the dog's fault, it's the owner's fault. Please, if you're going to get a dog, it's your responsibility to educate yourself and find out what they need to be happy, well-adjusted animals and how to give it to them. It's only fair. You don't want to lock your dogs away from people because they're unpredictable and may bite. If you're thinking of getting a dog, write this down. Socialization, structure, exercise, and affection. These are the four basic needs that dogs have besides food. If you get a puppy, bring the dog around as many kids and people as possible. Other dogs, too. If you get an older dog, you should be doing the same thing unless that dog is filled with anxiety and fear like this woman's was. In that case, you're going to need some help from an experienced animal behaviorist who can show you how to socialize the dog. And it's going to take a little work, confidence, and patience on your part. But with a professional, a commitment from you, consistent, fair leadership, and time, most dogs can be socialized and changed into happy, calm, well-adjusted animals.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day.
All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hi, this is Justin Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family. I'm on Animal Radio. Adopt a pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. With us right now, Doc Halligan from the Lucy Pet Foundation. Doc, I got to tell you, you know that every day I take my fleet home and I put it through not only myself, but through all of the cats.
Several times. Yes.
And I can declare some cats flea free. They're hard to get rid of. But I have one cat, Nike the studio cat. Where is he? Is he around here?
No, he's not around here right now.
Because I don't want him to hear me talking about him like this. But he gets one bite and his whole body breaks out.
Certain fleas, not all fleas, have a protein in their saliva that when they bite the dog or cat, put it in the pet's skin, and the animals have an allergic reaction to that protein. Mm. But it is not in every flea saliva. So Nike is allergic to that protein in the flea saliva. Some animals are not. I have seen cats come in and dogs completely infested and hardly scratching. And then, like you said, like your Nike, you've got one flea on one animal and they're going berserk.
When cats come into your office, and dogs too, I know that most of the cases are dermatitis cases, skin cases. Mm-hmm. Is the flea to blame for a lot of these?
Yes, the flea is to blame for half of the skin problems that we see in Southern California.
And do the owners say, no, they don't have any fleas when they bring them in?
Absolutely.
They like swear there's no fleas.
Yes. And all we do is, like you said, we either tip them on their back and then there they are in the tummy, or we use the flea comb at the base of the tail. Mm. And we find, sure enough.
My vet put a paper towel down one time and went through the comb and I could see all of it fall on the paper towel when I
the flea dirt.
Yes. And then he wet it and it turned red. And
well, and you know, at the end of the world, there'll be fleas and cockroaches. We'll all be dead. Because I try to tell clients, fleas are, they have the life cycle of a butterfly. So they have egg, larvae, pupae, adult, just like a butterfly. And what people don't understand, that if it gets to the pupa stage, there's nothing that will kill that. Nothing. So what you have to do is you see the adult flea, that's only 2% of the population. The majority is in egg, larvae, and pupae.
On my cat?
2 to 5% are in the adult phase. Yes. So what happens is most of them are in all the other stages, and that's what people don't realize. So they lay the eggs on the animal, which then fall into the ground. Okay. And then they turn into larvae, and then those larvae turn into pupae, which you can't kill. Okay. So you gotta kill adult, you gotta kill egg, you gotta kill larvae, or you're not fighting the battle.
I'm scratching and itching right now.
You know, people wait until they see an adult flea before they do flea control. If you live in Southern California, you need to do it all year round.
And isn't that like the same for Florida, though, too?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is where I come in, okay? Because I had some of that topical spot on that you put on their neck.
Okay.
And I was opening it, and it a little bit just spilled on my keyboard. And it made a hole on the key. Where the little drop went. And I'm thinking, if it can eat away at that key, what's it doing to my animals? And obviously you need something strong for these fleas that won't die. But
well, so it's a very good point. Not all topical are alike.
And really? Okay.
In fact, oh, no, Hal. Oh, my gosh.
I thought they were all the same ingredients. No?
Okay.
No. See, people, we could talk about this all day long, and it's so frustrating. You've got to read the ingredient, the active ingredient. That's why cats die, because some of those topical spot-ons are permethrins, which are toxic to cats. So the most important thing you can do is read the active ingredient so you know what it is. There are some oral medicines that have killed animals. The oral are can be more dangerous than the topical.
Really?
Most of the topicals do not get into the bloodstream. They don't enter, so they're not systemic. I mean, when I was a shelter vet, I would put Frontline or Advantage on wee little kittens, you know, because fipronil, which is the active ingredient in Frontline, is safe. It's safe for kittens. So, you know, you have to really get educated now. I don't know. Every week there's a new topical because it's big money. And so the consumer, they look at the packaging and they all look alike and then they buy it. And a lot of the topicals don't work, but they're mimicking what the ones do work. So it's very important for you to get educated as a consumer. There are great over the counter topicals now.
Like what? Tell me.
Yeah, what's the product I need to look for?
What would you use on your animal?
So I use fipronil. I use Pet Armor. Okay. Pet Armor was the very first generic fipronil on the market. Frontline lost their patent, and the Frontline regular was just fipronil. Frontline Plus had S-methoprene, which also did the insect regulator, killed egg and larvae. But if you just use an adulticide all year round, you don't have to worry. If you're a person that's not going to do it regularly, then you should use something that also kills the egg and larvae. So fipronil is very, very safe. Your vet is the best place to start. Most vets are educated on it, and have your vet help coach you on this.
So much information here. I wanted to ask you about ticks. We've run out of time, so let's do that next week. Can we do that?
Yes, I'd love to talk about ticks.
Okay, Tick Talk next week. Doc Halligan from the Lucy Pet Foundation. Check it out at lucypetfoundation.org. If you need a fix during the week, head on over to animalradio.com and be sure to download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android and BlackBerry. Have yourself a great week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Farewell, friends.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.